Father, we are honored, humbled, and grateful. It has pleased you to honor our gathering with your presence. We're very grateful. And we bless your holy name. As we proceed into the word, like Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, we will not leave this place. So as we enter into the word, we beseech you that this same presence will go with us into the word. To open it up, open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Anoint me afresh, that I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of those who listen to me, those who are physically present, those who will be listening to me remotely, electronically, so that this word, with your presence, will flow freely from you, through me, to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray, as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me individually and said, I have a very important message this afternoon. It's more important than I thought it was. Something happens to me when I prepare my messages. And this is, I'm sharing it for the benefit of those who are in the ministry. And even if you're not, you know, you will be soon. Praise the Lord. In the 21st century, everybody's a minister. Are you listening to me? This question of this person is a pastor. We're all pastors. You just don't know yet. And you haven't grown into it yet. You know, for example, every husband is a pastor. If you're married, the day you decide to get married, you enter the ministry. The day you said, I see that fine girl, I want to marry her. You just said, first, daddy, I want to become a pastor. You know why? The day you got married, you became the senior pastor of that house. And the woman who said, I do, you became an assistant pastor. Both of you are pastors. That's your church. And all your children are your saints. And all your house helps and all of that are your deacons. That's true. That's God's pattern for the church. So, you know, forget all this. You know, we're all pastors. It's just that some of us haven't grown into it yet. I was manifesting it, but we're all pastors. So something that happens to me is that when God begins to give me a message, usually, practically 99%, if not more, of my messages come when I'm doing my Bible reading.
I'll just be reading the Bible, and I'll just read a verse, boom, it will just jump out to me. Then the Holy Spirit will say, develop it. And usually that may take a week or two. I'll just be praying, meditating. Something will come to me, I will store it. And then when it's close to the time I'm supposed to deliver it, I will write it down. The what, the why, and the how. Very simple. Then I leave it. And this happened to me this morning. So I will write the message. I've written the message. And I went to go and have my bath. I started getting ready to come to church. As I was having my bath, God started adding to the message. He said, that's important, but this is even more important. So I got excited on my own message. And I started dancing inside the bath. And shouting, oh, glory, kosh elemenga. I'm praying, I'm having my bath, kosh elemenga. Does anything happen? You know, my wife gets 90% of her revelation inside the bath. But you know, that's not coincidental. Because you see, when do you bath? In the morning after prayer. So there you go, you do good morning Jesus, you pray in the spirit, you read your Bible, you know. So now you go and have your bath. It's all the things you prayed and all of that, the download starts. So that's why it's usually in the bath. Glory be to God. Does God speak in the bathroom? Oh, most assuredly, yes. Glory be to God. He speaks everywhere. Okay. So this is a very important message, but it's even more important than I thought. And I've entitled it Self-Denial by the Spirit. Everybody open your mouth and say Self-Denial by the Spirit. No, there's a self-denial that's not by the Spirit. There's a self-denial that's just human suffering and flesh, you know. And many Christians fall into that. I can't help myself, but let me just use this as an example of what I mean. A lot of Christians think that when you fast, you have to suffer. And the more you suffer, the more effective the fast is. If the hunger doesn't wire you well, that's Nigerian English. In other words, if you're not feeling, you have to really feel weak and bad. And then the fast is working. No. Not necessarily. Because you see, if you do the self-denial by the Spirit, you won't even feel so much pain. Because the Spirit will cushion it. So it's not how much you suffer that impresses God. Jesus has already suffered for you. Watch this. This again is not in my notes. You see, actually I'm getting blessed now. This is just coming now. You know? You know? It's not how much you suffer that impresses God. It's how much you partake of His sufferings. I've never heard that before. It's not how much you suffer that impresses God. It's the degree to which you partake of His sufferings. And basically, His sufferings is self-denial. Hence, this very important prophetic message. Everybody, turn in your Bible, if you will, to Luke chapter 9. Luke, the Gospel according to St. Luke, the only Gentile writing in the Bible. Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. But even though he was a Gentile, he was operating under the covering of Paul. So it was still Jewish. Luke chapter 9 and verses 23 and 24 to start with. And he said to them, few. And he said to them, apostles. And he said to them, who are very dedicated. And he said to them, Pastor Buega and Mommy Sarah. See, I learned it from Kenneth Hagin. I deliberately speak like that because many times when we read the scripture, in our mind, it's part of the infirmity of the carnal mind, we put an assumption there that God didn't put. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Ask for them. Ask for the Jim Jim brethren. Ask for Mommy Sarah, Pastor Buega, you know, and Pastor Kunle and all, you know, all those ones, Lin Cesos, this for them. For we are not involved in all of that.
No. He said unto them, everybody shout it. This is for everybody.
If any man,
this is for everybody,
will come after me, let him
or her
deny himself
or herself
and take up his cross once in 2 weeks. Take up his cross at Easter.
Take up his cross when he's going on the stations of the cross.
I'm saying those things deliberately. You know, because these are the religious mentalities and strongholds that have been built into the men's minds for centuries. Take up his cross when her husband is very difficult. Take up his cross when she has a very disobedient child. Hello. I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm doing deliberately by the Spirit. Take up his cross when his business goes bad. All those things are what traditional Christians call their cross. Ah, what come in cross mean here? Ah, omoye cross mean. In our language, you know, there's nobody who doesn't have their own cross. Eh? This problem I have is my own cross. That your own is your own cross. It's a lie of the devil. You don't take up your cross daily, and that cross is to crucify your flesh. And follow me. The word follow there is very important in the Greek. It's the word mimetes, and it means to mimic or imitate. So we're supposed to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to mimic him, literally copy. And in particular, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to repeat these things and amplify them, but they come by the Spirit, so I'll say it. You know, in particular, what did Jesus do daily? In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. That's taking up your cross. Because it is in the place of strong crying and tears and supplication that you crucify the sin nature in the flesh. Amen. You're supposed to do it daily. It is not a thing you do once in a month, once every 2 weeks, or when you are faced with a particular problem, or when your husband does something terrible and it becomes your cross, according to you. Or you have a recalcitrant child or a disobedient child. That's not your cross. That happened because you didn't take up your cross. If you had been taking up your cross, you would have solved that problem before it came into manifestation. Good. Next verse, verse 24. We're going to come back to this verse 24. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. This is a loaded statement. And it does not mean what you think it means. He's not talking about, you know, your physical life and dying physically. No. Give this to me in the Amplified. I'm still going to come back to it later on when I'm doing the how. But let me just... it doesn't really say the way I like it. Do we have the complete Jewish Bible? I got it on my computer. But I don't know if all of you can see it. Let me... You see, some of the translations sometimes are a little bit obscure. You know, let me just paraphrase it. Whosoever will try and save his natural life will lose his higher spiritual life. But whosoever will lose his lower natural life, the same shall save his higher spiritual life. Amen. That's what he's saying. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. Remember, as a scripture I love quoting occasionally when I teach and preach, because that's what I've just done,
Nehemiah 8:8. It's easy to remember. He says, and they read the word distinctly and gave the understanding and the sense. That's what I've just done. They read in the book of the law distinctly, that is clearly. And then they gave them the sense. In other words, you see, many times you read the Bible, you don't know the sense. You don't know what he's saying. That's why one of the reasons why you have to come to church. You can't get it just by reading the Bible yourself. Because it's in the light of the anointed teaching that you will see light. You can't see light by yourself. It is in that light you see light. That's why you need apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So let's get back to Luke. We're going to come back to this. Now, what is self-denial? Well, this is exactly what it says. It's denying yourself of what your natural mind and body wants to do. It's a simple definition. It's not just denial of sex, which is very obvious. You know, people won't think of self-denial in terms of sex. But sex is just a small one of the parts. It's denial of food. It's denial of sleep. Watch this. It's denial of legitimate pleasures. You want to watch TV and you say, no, I want to pray. So instead of spending 5 hours watching TV, I spend 1 hour watching TV, I spend 4 hours praying. That's self-denial. You want to spend 2 hours reading a nice book and a nice novel. That's what your flesh wants to do. Then you deny yourself and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to spend 2 hours in prayer and I'll spend 30 minutes looking at a novel. That's self-denial. Is denying what the natural mind, the natural emotions, the natural feel, what is gratifying to the sin nature in the soul and in the body. You deny it so that you can give time for the things of the spirit. That's what self-denial is. I had to learn it as a young man. I got born again when I was 20. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, 20, I was 20 in May 1979. I got born again around that time. Then I got filled with the Holy Ghost November, that same 1979. I was still 20 years old. Then I became 21 in 1980. By that time, I'd received the call of God on my life, and I knew what God wanted me to do. You know, and all those months, I had to learn self-denial. As a young man, I was in the UK, I was in England, I was in Imperial College. I had a lot of things at my disposal. It's not like today where we have WhatsApp and mobile. There was no mobile phone, there was no WhatsApp. You know, there was no, you know, your daddy can transfer your money to it. You know what my dad did? My dad, of blessed memory, you know, he was very nice to me. He was so impressed I got a first class. And I was taking Imperial College. Imperial College was one of the best engineering schools in the world. He told all his friends, you know, and he said, Olubi, I don't, you know, because he was a businessman and sometimes things will be fine, sometimes things can be low. So he didn't want to take any chances. He said, I'm going to give you your money in bulk for 1 year. He said, if you finish it, it's finished. And my dad, he meant every word. I knew he was serious. It wasn't a lot of money back in those days, but you know, it doesn't sound a lot now, but back in those days, it was a lot of money. He gave me £3,000. That was how I opened my first NatWest account. We still have that account till today. My wife, I put my wife inside, you know, she joined the account. Amen. We're going married, you know. You know, but I opened that account in Imperial College, you know. I had £3,000. Then my mother, because my parents were divorced, so my mother gave me money, maybe 500, 1,000. My stepfather, Justice Bakary, late Justice Bakary, you know, my mom's husband, you know, he gave me £1,000. Then one or two other uncles, Uncle Femi in Ibadan here, you know, my late uncle, Femi Johnson Company, he gave me, I think, another 1,000. check it out.
I think Brigadier Johnson, my uncle, you know, that done the coup then, but you know, he had, you know, former governor of Lagos State, I think he gave me another 1,000. 500. I want to paint a picture to you. I'm talking about self-denial. You know, man, I had money. You know, everybody, Ulubi, oh my shit, that go. First class, look back, first class, oh yeah, what about, £500. You know, different uncles and aunties, everybody was so impressed at their Imperial College, Lomatimu. They took him in Imperial College, you know, it's like, £500. This one will give me 250, you know, money. I got Imperial College. Check it out, man. There was money in the bank. It was time to paint the town red. born again. Thank God. Kule. This is how you know if you are really born again. I had money. The money was sitting there. Me before. Before me. Hey. With that kind of money in the bank. Michael got lost in Oxford Street. Buy all kinds of suits, shirts, you know, shoes, everything to match. That's how we used to go to parties in those days. Pastor Boyega remembers. This generation knows nothing about they wear rags now. In our days, when you go to a party, you go in a three-piece suit. It was like John Travolta, Saturday Night Fever. So you will have cream, you will have, you know, brown, you will have different colors, and then everything goes, suits, everything with the shirt and everything. But I got born again. Born again, me, Gino. It's not like the born again of a lot of people today. It was real born again. So my nature had changed. All the attraction. I was living in the hall I was in West 2. You know, in London you have London West 1. And then West 2 is still, you know, really central London. You know, if I just get out of my house, you know, I got a bike. I was able to buy a bicycle. You know, and I was used to ride to school because it was not far. You know, in 5 minutes, I'm in Oxford Street. And the center of town, Regent Park, all the places where all the top shops were. So I was, it was so close, it was so close, you know, I could have done what I liked. Nobody, no supervision. My parents weren't there, nobody. So I'm 20 years old. Young people, listen to me carefully. It's a story that will bless your life. But you know, I had been born again. And then shortly, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. So as I began to pray and all of that, you know, that urge to go and splash on clothes and splash on shoes and splash on fashion. That was what I used to do in the natural. That's the sin, the old man, the old Olubi. That's what I would have done. But there was a restraining force on the inside. Don't spend your money like that. So I started praying, you know, God filled the Holy Spirit, started praying and all of that. You know, so I bought a few clothes. No, I didn't buy anything, but very little. Just what I needed. I didn't splash like I used to. You know, I got a nice stereo system, you know. And incidentally, I used it just for listening to Ken Hagin tapes. I used to have a whole stack of records. Oh, my God. Pastor G, you remember? You know. We used to be music connoisseurs. We listened to the most latest. I had records, I don't know, up to that, you know, all kinds of bands, Carlos Santana, and all kinds of, you know, rock music and everything. You know, because I used to. One day the Holy Ghost said, go and throw it all away. True story. Talk about self-denial. As those records must have, if I valued them, I'm sure they must have come to at least 200, 300, 400, if not 500 pounds. A lot of records. And he said, you can't give it away because the lyrics are bad. And I don't want you to go and pollute anybody else. Because I said, well, God, can I give it away? You know, if I give it to him, I can also go and borrow it back. You know, God knows your number. I said, no. He said, go and throw them away. So you know what I did? I packed all the records. You know, there was this, we have this, it's a kind of dustbin, but it's not really a dustbin. You put it there, and then it goes down the chute. Down inside, then the people come from the London City Council and then they carry, and then they squash it all together. So once it goes down that chute, you cannot recover it. So I pack all those records, you know. People are looking at me, are you crazy? You know, and I put the thing inside. Then I went to go and buy Christian records. I had about 10, 15 nice ones, you know, that I started listening to. Then I started getting DVD and go, some of what we listen to today, and, you know, Christian music. So I first of all replaced that. I was a young man. I was 20 years old. But I had to deny myself. Deny myself what normally the natural man, the sin nature in me, would love. Then God revealed to me that He wanted me to be giving money to some missions. They were behind the Iron Curtain. In those days, there's no Iron Curtain now. In those days, there was still Russia and the, you know, USSR and the communists and all of that. So they were operating underground. But they used to write to people in the UK and in America to sponsor them. There was a particular radio I used to give money to. It's called Fever Radio. And they were broadcasting into the Soviet Union, you know, from places like Ukraine and all out of Ukraine, all in the Soviet Union back in those days. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I said, send him real money. So now I send them 100 pounds, send them 200 pounds. Ah, me? I'm going to be born again, Loto. I denied myself to start to give to the work of God. I used to give generously to the work of God. If I saw people who were poor, or even in England there, you know, I see people, drunk people on the road, I'll put them inside a taxi. I'm talking about a black cab, you know, which cost me 10, 20 pounds. I'll take them to McDonald's. I'll buy them lunch and food, and I'll give them a track. Say, Jesus loves you. That's what I started spending my money on. I could have spent it on other things, but I started, we're talking about self denial. I denied what naturally my mind wants, what naturally my flesh would want, so that I could do what God wants. That is self-denial. Let's bring it a little bit closer home. I mentioned this at the beginning, but I didn't want to emphasize because that's not even sex. You know, you deny, your body feels like having sex, but you say, no, you can't do that because it is wrong. It is against the will of God, and you turn your back on it. Before I got born again, I used to have girlfriends and all of that, you know. Then I got born again. And then when I got born again, I had to turn my back on all of those things. It wasn't that they were not available. They were. But I had to, no, you can't do that. You're a Christian now. You can't do that. You're a Christian now. Can't do that. You're a Christian now. And God helped me and had mercy on me because, and gave me simple common sense. I've preached all these things before and I won't go into detail, but you know, just stay, abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen. So I never used to go where girls were, where I could get into any kind of serious temptation. Once I see it from afar, I run away from it. You know, that's self-denial. It's denying yourself of what your natural, we call it the flesh, but a better understanding, a more accurate description is the sin nature
in the flesh, in the mind, the will, and the emotions, and the physical body. What your natural mind will want. I stopped watching bad movies. It was available. Just down the road, you know, was Marble Arch. And there was a cinema house there. I used to go to before I became a Christian, when I used to go to England on summer. But, you know, now I didn't go anymore. Because most of the films were not Christian. You know, when bands would come to town, you know, rock, you know, soul, you know, bands and, you know, disco and all of that that I used to do before. You know, when I'm in town, you see the advertisement. This is in town. I won't go. I'm a Christian now. It's called self-denial. What to God, honey, that this truth is taught to this younger generation. You know, a lot of Christians today, they don't know about self-denial. And they have this strange doctrine that once you're born again, and the grace of God covers everything, so you can enjoy yourself and grace will cover it. It's a lie that will send you to hell. I want to add that to it. If you continue in it long enough. If you continue in sin, the wages of sin is death. It will kill you. And if you're not careful, it will send you back to hell. It's not true. The grace of God is not an excuse to continue in the flesh. The grace of God is the reason for overcoming the flesh. What did you say, darling? Or yes, or die prematurely. Don't do it. Don't indulge your flesh. Yes, Jesus will forgive you. I know. If you sin and the flesh, you know, but you don't want to use that as an excuse. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shout it out. You didn't say it the way I want you to say it. You did not say the Nigerian way. Sister Rhoda, don't get her. God forbid bad thing. That I will continue in sin that grace may abound. God forbid bad thing. Even the white man will understand that one. Praise the Lord. So that is, you know, the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. He's got me to emphasize it and use practical examples that you can relate to. You need, if you're going to grow as a Christian, you've got to learn self. I'm glad I learned it early. I learned self-denial early. Turn away from sin. Turn away from something may not even be obvious sin. That's why it says appearance of evil. I don't even go there. Because I have no guarantee that if I get in there and I get under pressure, I will not do it. So the best thing is don't even go there. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Amen. Now, why? Why does God want us to deny ourselves? Now, this is the one where God told me, said, this is more important than you think. And he added to it this morning when I was, you know, while I was having my bath. Let me start with what I wrote down at first. Then I'm going to tell you what God added to it. He said, the reason I want you to learn to deny yourself, you know, is because if you will learn self-denial, you are going to get all the blessings. Let me say it the way I wrote it down. You will inherit the glory and find your true life in this life. There is a life God has planned for you. The Bible says, in the book of, I think it's Jeremiah, it says, the thoughts I have towards you are thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you what? To an expected end. You know, and then in the book of Revelation, it says that every man has a part that is written inside the book. That is the Bible. Psalm 40 is speaking about Jesus, but by extension to us, it says, it is written of me in the volume of the book. All the things that are written of you in the volume of the book, you are going to inherit them if you will learn self-denial. But alas, alas, if you don't learn self-denial, you will lose them. That's why he says that, let him come, so that you will not lose it. He said, if you try and save the natural life, you will lose that life that is written of you in the volume of the book.
But if you will lose the natural life, you will gain the life that is written of you in the volume of the book. Am I talking to anybody here? Hallelujah. And he gave me scripture. Look at John chapter 12. Then I'm going to show you what he added, you know, after I had written this down. You know, this is the one I got in the bath. This is the one I got first, before I got the one in the bath. It says, John 12, verses 25 and 26. John 12, verses 25 and 26. And this is what the Bible says. He said, he that loveth his life, same thing he said in Luke 9, you know, just expressed in a different form. And he that hateth his life in this world, notice his life in this world, shall keep it. I didn't hear you, folks. I didn't hear you. Let's start again. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world, there's a life in this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you hate it and you lose it, you will keep your life unto eternal life. Verse 26. If any man, notice it's not to pastors and apostles and Jim brethren. It's to everybody. If any man serve me, let him follow me. That's that word mimetis again. Let him imitate me. Let him mimic me by daily self-denial by the Spirit. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You know what is going to happen? When you learn to deny yourself, you're going to get God's honor. God is going to honor you in this life. When you learn to deny yourself, you'll be like the Lord Jesus. God will honor you. He will honor you with his anointing. He will honor you with his glory. He will honor you with his wealth. But you must first deny yourself. Am I talking to anybody here? Hallelujah. So many Christians fall on this stumbling block. They love their life in this world. Many Christians want to live a natural life. They're born again. I was sharing with somebody recently, and I said this. Listen to what I'm about to say. It's so important. Everybody wants Jesus as Savior, but very few want him as Lord. That typifies the typical Christian of today. They want him as Savior. They want him to save them from their sins. They don't want to go to hell. They want him as healer. They want him as provider. But they don't want him as Lord. Lord means master. What he says is yes. If he says yes, is yes. If he says no, is no. We all want him as Savior. We want him as healer. We want him as provider. But we don't want him as Lord. Because it is when he now becomes Lord that he will demand self-denial. And people don't want self-denial. So they want to enjoy the benefits of salvation, not going to hell, healing, deliverance, some degree of prosperity, you know, but they don't want to deny themselves. It's not going to work. You can't mix it. Are you listening to me? It's not going to work. And that's why it's not working for so many people. You cannot want Jesus as Savior and not want him as Lord. If you want him as Savior and you want that salvation to be effective and total, you must have him also as Lord. And if he is Lord, he says, deny yourself and take up your cross daily. Is this clear? Very, very important. So this is the one I got. And then he gave me another scripture. Before I tell you what I got in the bath, he gave me another scripture. It's in John 17. It's great when God speaks to you, you know. I danced a jig this morning. And in John 17, and if you look at verses 22 and 23, the Lord Jesus is praying. He's praying for us. He's praying for the apostles and us. He said, not only them, but those who believe on me through their word. Then he says that they all, no, verse 22. This is what self-denial, this is the reward of self-denial. That, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. That's not only the apostles, it's all of us. That they may be one. I didn't hear you. Even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they be made perfect or complete in one, that the world may know. This glory is not something we're going to get when we're out of the world. Some are going to get while we're still inside the world, so the world will know. There's a glory that's coming that's going to cause the world to know. There's a prophetic word that came when we're worshiping this morning. You know, it came through me, but it was, because I was just flowing with the Spirit, and it just came. He said, we stand in awe of God, but God said the world is going to stand in awe of Him through what He's going to do through us. You see, at the moment, nobody's standing in awe of God. We are, because we know God, you know. But many unbelievers don't stand in awe of God. They don't stand in awe of God. They're not afraid of God. They don't even believe that there's a God. And they don't stand. But before we finish this Feast of Tabernacles, the whole world will stand in awe of Him. He said, they will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. You know, it happened in Egypt. You see, when Moses first went, he went gently. He said, Pharaoh, please, I beg. This Olubi translation. You know, please, you know, let my people go. Who is your God? Who is your God that I should let them go? They're idol. Huh? That's why you come here. You know, you don't have work to do. Now let them build bricks without straw. He wasn't afraid of him. Moses threw his rod on the ground, and it became a snake. Moses said, Pharaoh said, what's all this? Janice and Jambis, please, I better come. Throw your own too. Oh, yeah. They threw their rods. Their own became snakes too. Now, Moses' snake ate their own, but their own too became snakes. So they said, well, maybe that's just some trick of the devil, you know, something. He was not afraid. At first. He didn't stand in awe of him at first. Then plague after plague after plague. It got to the eighth plague, new beginnings. Hallelujah. And the magicians could not they were duplicating every other plague. But when they got to that one, they could not duplicate. You know what they said? They said, this is the finger of God. They started standing in awe. From that time, anytime Moses comes to the palace, everybody could do like this. Our guy is coming, oh. Even though they were not Israelites. And when he now told them, he said, you know, there's going to be a plague on cattle, you know, and all of that. You know, some of the people didn't listen. He said, the servants of Pharaoh who feared, they feared the word of Moses. They didn't know God. It was the God of Moses. He said, they took their cattle because they know they began to stand in awe of him. That's what's going to happen with us. I don't stand in awe of him now. They're not standing up, but they will stand in awe of him. Mark my word. You can take it to the bank. Are you listening to me? All right. So, the glory, there's a glory that is coming that's going to make the world know and stand in awe of God. You know, so that's the one I got. Then the one that came after the bath, while I was in the bath, he says, if you don't deny yourself, I didn't know this. That's why I say it is more important. You will suffer loss. And then he took me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 15. Talking about carnal Christians, he says that the ones who build with wood, hay, and stubble, he said that their works will be burned up. He said they will be saved. He said, but they will suffer loss. And so he now gave it to me in a lovely way, and I want to build it up. I want to share it with you. He said, the degree to which you deny yourself is the degree to which you will inherit your destiny. The degree to which you don't deny yourself is the degree to which you will lose your destiny. Ah! He said, that is why I said it's more important. Then he didn't stop there. You know how God is. He now gave me scripture. He said, Moses lost going into the promised land because he did not deny his anger. Ah! The thing shook me. He spake unadvisedly with his lips because he was provoked. But he knew better. Because the Bible says Moses was the meekest of all men on the earth. Indulging his anger and his temperament cost him the promised land. And you know, he tried to negotiate the thing. God took him up to the mountain of Nebo and showed him all the land. Ah! He said, Lord,
just give me another 10 years. Let me just lead them in another. God said, concerning that matter, don't go there. It was lost forever. Watch self-denial. It's more important than you think. Then he gave me another example. One of the two or three reasons later, was after David.
David saw a small girl having her bath. Beautiful, yes. But he was old enough to be her father. Bathsheba was a kid relative to David. David was probably about 60, late 50s at that time. Bathsheba must have been in her 20s. Or late 20s. She was just recently married. We know that. I watched a movie recently. This is the kind of films I watch now. Called David and Bathsheba. It was acted in the 1950s. I hadn't seen it before. I just saw it on YouTube. I looked at it a little bit. I didn't watch all of it. I just looked at it. Then it was in that movie with the script writers. And they wrote it very well. Bathsheba, she hadn't had any other children. See, they were newly married. So she had never had a... She didn't have... Uriah didn't have a child. They were young people. They just started their lives. And that's what one of the things that made David's sin even more grievous. David could have denied himself, taking his eyes away. But he decided to indulge his flesh because he was king. Well, yeah, he did. But it cost him. He lost a part of his destiny where he should have built the temple. And God said, go and tell my people. A lack of self-denial will cost you loss of destiny. Be careful. That's why I said it is more important than you think. A lack of self-denial can cost you loss of destiny. Esau! Thank you. That's why I like my wife. Hallelujah. Do you see that? That's the Bible said, in the matter of two or three witnesses, let every word. So she gave me the third example. Is Esau. You know what? And Judas. Thank you, darling. You know, Esau, he sold his birthright to his brother because of food. That's why we say self-denial is denying what your natural... He was hungry, quite all right, but he would not have died. Hello? If you can't say amen, say oh me. Hello? So, want to eat, and then you deny yourself. You don't deny yourself, and then you lose something else. And sometimes you cannot get it back. The Bible says Esau, you know, a profane person, you know, he despised his birthright because of a piece of pottage. Then when he now saw the importance of what he lost, the loss of destiny, he sought it earnestly with tears, but he was not able to get it back. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Deny yourself! We have a 3-day fast coming up. I announced it today. 28th, you know, the end of October. Deny yourself! You don't know what you lose when you don't deny yourself. Are you listening to me? Deny yourself. Judas. He was taking money from the bag. He did not know what he was going to lose. He lost his apostleship. The Bible says his bishopric gift to another. I've got bad news for Judases. You will not be a Judas in Jesus' name. Watch this. Judas's name was already being inscribed on the foundation of the temple, because he was one of the 12 apostles. It had to be removed and another name inscribed in his place, because he could not deny himself a little bit of 10 naira here, 15 naira here, 300 naira here, 200 naira there. Covetousness. So much so that when Martha took her alabaster box and broke it and poured the oil on Jesus' head, the perfume. Incidentally, Jesus likes perfume. Just another message for another day. Just take it from me. The Bible says all his clothes are full of cassia and God likes nice things. You know? And it began to make noise. Why couldn't this thing have been sold to the poor? You know, it could have been sold at Otimo price, everything, Loja. But bad Judas. 300 pence, Lonta. Like Bati Tansin in Bati Ribi Tatimbe. His lack of self-denial cost him his apostleship. Watch this. And heaven. For 30 shekels of silver. Be careful. That's why God said, it's more important than you think. I was just going to preach it like that, you know, the glory. It's more important than you think. The less you deny yourself, the more of your destiny you lose. The more you deny yourself, the more of your destiny you regain. Self-denial is crucial for fulfillment of destiny. Many Christians are losing their destinies, parts of their destinies, because they don't deny themselves. They go to heaven, but they suffer loss of destiny. And in some extreme cases like Judas, they won't even go to heaven. It was W.F. Kumuyi that said this. I heard it years and years and years ago. It's come to me now. You know, Bro Kumuyi used to preach on self-denial and all this there. He said that, you know, he said it's very dangerous for you to sleep at the edge of the bed. He said, because if you are sleeping at the edge of the bed, if you all roll once, you are fallen. He said, it's better to sleep on the extreme. So if you roll once, you are still on the bed. You roll twice, you are still on the bed. That is why, for Christianity, go to the extreme. If you make one mistake, if you make two, you are still on the bed. But if you are staying at the edge and you roll once, you are down. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. However we shout it, it won't change the facts. But it's the truth. It's the truth. Go to the extreme. You know, the blessings of God are not in the shallow end. They're in the deep end. If you are sleeping in the deep end and you move a little bit, you'll still be in the water. But if you're always swimming in the shallow end, before you know, you'll be out of the water. Am I talking to anybody else? I don't want to be a fanatic. I'll give you Kenneth Copeland's definition of a fanatic, which I 100% agree with. It is somebody that loves God more than you. That's why you consider them a fanatic. They just love God much more than you do. So you think they're a fanatic. Because if you love God the way they love God, you won't think they're a fanatic. So if they call you a fanatic, you're in good company. You know, they call Jesus a fanatic. How many people know that? They say, go and catch him. You know, the boy has gone. He's gone off his rocker. That's modern translation. You know, this guy's crazy. They say, his kinsmen said they should go and, you know, he's calling himself son of God. He's doing miracles over. The boy is mad. They called Paul a fanatic. Felix said, thou art mad, Paul. Not learning had made thee mad. And they called me a fanatic. So you're in good company. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? A fanatic is just somebody. And you know, Paul actually says that. He says, if we beside ourselves, he says it is to God. He says, if you say you are mad, he says it is to God. For we thus judge. It's one of my favorite scriptures. If one died for all, then we are all dead. So that they which live no longer live unto themselves, but unto him that died and rose again. That's a fanatic. That's a fanatic. Be that kind of fanatic. Are you listening to me? Okay. So, that is what the Lord told me. You don't want to lose part of your destiny because of a lack of self-denial. Then, you know, God is so kind. I was dancing as I was getting some of this revelation. You know, I mean, I was just chuckling with the Lord. And now I'm looking about, you hear me laughing. It's because God is talking to me and he's telling me all kinds of nice things. Then he said, but there is a pillar of hope. There is a beacon light of hope. That's why they should listen to this message. It's a prophetic message on self-denial by the Spirit. We are coming into a season. This is good news. Good news. Good news. You may have lost some things because of a lack of self-denial in the past. But there is a season that is ahead of us, which is a season that the Bible calls
a restoring of the years that the canker worm has eaten. If you start self-denial now, you repent and you start self-denial after this message, there are some things you have lost you will recover.
Amen.
Isn't that great news? Give the Lord a clap offering. Isn't God the nice person? You can gain something. You may not be able to get everything, but there are many things you can get back. And particularly for younger Christians who haven't done too much, you can get everything back. For the older ones who knew better, there's some things you may get back, some things you may not get. I'm not God. I don't know. But it's a consolation. You know, look at Joel chapter 2, and I believe it's about verse 23, somewhere in there. Is it 25? Thank you. Verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent again, among you. This is the enemy that has been allowed to come in, and you know, because they didn't deny themselves. But you need to go down to verse 26. Let's see that. Oh, good. All right. And 27. But go up to verse 24, 23. I want to show you something. Because it's the season of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a season of restoration. If you, maybe all your Christian life, you have not been denying yourself, and you hear this message, and you truly repent, and you start denying yourself, and you become a son of Issachar, many of the things you have lost, you can restore them. Isn't it worth it? You know what I want to say to you? Go for it, man. Go for gold. Be glad then, you children of Zion. He will give you this. And he will come down the former rain. Verse 24 is the one I want to focus on. This is why. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and fats will overflow with wine, revelation, oil, anointing. Because of this, if you start denying yourself now, as we are approaching the season of the Feast of Tabernacles, the harvest of the nations, because of the wine and the oil that you can get now, you can restore many things that you have lost. Go for it. 5 or 6, 10 people clapped. I thought you would have been saying, God, thank you. Thank you. All my former disobediences, all my former lack of self-denial, you mean I can restore it?
Yes.
Man, you become a fanatic overnight.
Amen.
We got to close. How? By the Spirit, of course. But let's just look at a few scriptures and I'll close. Romans chapter 8. Ha! Honey, what would we do without Romans 8? That chapter alone, if you removed Romans 8, if you got Romans 5, 6, 7, then remove 8 and then just jump to 9 and 10, it would be so. Thank God for Romans 8. You know, that is the chapter in the book of Romans that holds everything together. There is therefore now, Baba Polo. You know, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's what where he stopped to. Not who walk after the Spirit. The translators put that. The original Greek says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Period. Give the Lord a clap offering. Why? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. If you can shout hallelujah. Woo! Woo! The knowledge of that law sets you free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It totally neutralizes the law of sin and death. The blood neutralizes the sin. The life neutralizes the death. So simple. Now, jump to verse 10. We're going to look at 10, 11, 12, 13.
We're going to first of all look at it in King James. Then I think I'm going to look at it also in the Amplified, and then maybe one or two other translations as God leads me. And if Christ be in you, I didn't hear you. Some people are talking as if Christ is not in them. The body is dead because of sin. Let me explain that. Of course, your body is not dead. He's talking spiritually. It means that there's spiritual death or the sin nature inside your physical body. Are you listening to me? That's why the Lord Jesus said, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. How is it weak? It's weakened through the sin nature inside it. The sin nature is a spiritual thing. Your body is a physical thing. Your physical body contains a spiritual substance, which is called the sin nature. It is the sin nature that wants me to commit adultery. It is the sin nature that wants you to compete. Now it's in the mind. It's a sin nature. For the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery and fornication and this and that, all those terrible things. It's the sin nature in the flesh that wants you, you know, wants to make you feel like doing those things and makes you do those things. He said, for the flesh, lust, or let's say it this way, the sin nature in the flesh is in conflict with the divine nature in your spirit, so that you, born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christian, cannot, not will not. Do you observe? Not will not. I will what is right, but I find another law working in my members, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my flesh. And he cannot do the things that you would. But he gives you the answer. Next verse. But if you will walk in the Spirit, give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But you have to know how to walk in the Spirit. It's not automatic. You got to do it. You got to enforce the law of the Spirit of life. So you use the blood, the word, and the Spirit. So simple. So that's what he's saying here. We go back to Romans 8. The body is dead because of the sin nature. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. In other words, your human spirit has access to the life of God because you have been brought into right standing with God through the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. What I've done now is I've given you the sense. I've given you the sense of that scripture. If you just read it by yourself, you won't get the sense. You need revelation. You need to understand it. Next verse. But, this is one of my favorite scriptures. But if the Spirit of Him, I love this one, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall go forth, give life to your resurrected bodies. This is not going to happen when you go to heaven. It's happening here and now. In the nasty here and now. Not in the sweet by and by. Are you listening to me? So you've got to pump. That's where groaning, travail, life scriptures, all these things come in. You fill your heart, your spirit with life. You cannot put life directly into your body. You have to first of all put it into your spirit. Then from your spirit, through prayer and groaning and travail, you now pump it into the physical body, and it will kill the sin nature in the body, so that the body will now start desiring what God wants. Amen. Shall quicken, give life. Give this to me in the New International Version. This is good stuff. But if the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit. Observe, it's not done directly, it's through the Spirit. You see, that's why Christians who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit and who don't pray, they don't have a hope. That is why you have so much carnality in the church. They think, oh, self-denial. I will not wear a scarf. Hello. I'm not against wearing scarf. I'm not for scarf. I'm not against scarf. I'm like Jesus. I'm for everybody. If you wear a scarf, praise God. If you don't wear a scarf, praise God. Are you listening to me? Because scarf has nothing to do with releasing life into the mortal body. You see, we've tried to be spiritual by carnal methods. So
all the women will sit on this side of the church. And all the men will sit on this side of the church so they will not lust. That's the very time they will lust. Because it's not by separating them physically that you're going to stop the thoughts and the feelings in the body. It's by the Spirit. So what? That's why I titled the message Self-Denial by the Spirit. You see, there's a self-denial by the flesh. All women, sit on this side. All men, sit on this side. Don't use perfume. When we first got born again, Ashe. Bro, I claim here I was in deeper life. I want deeper Baba. You know, and I was a young Christian. I just wanted to serve God. So I was ready to do anything. If they say we shouldn't use perfume, okay. We won't use perfume. Because if you use perfume, you will attract sisters. Pastor Andrew, what's it now? Pastor Andrew too was in, you know, the traditional SU. You know, so okay, we all want to walk in the Spirit. We don't want to want to deny the flesh. So we started doing physical things. You know, there's a kind of trouser you must wear. What here, yeah? Oh yes, Brooklyn, Meranti now. There was a mood of dressing. They drew it. So you know, you have to wear the kind of, you know, shirt, short sleeve. You know, and girls are not supposed to, all kinds of, don't let me go there. All kinds of, the heart was good. Yes, the heart was trying to look for a way of crucifying the flesh. But they were doing it by the flesh. Sadly, ironically, and tragically. Because it didn't work. There's only one way to deny the flesh, by the Spirit. By the Spirit. You can't do it. It's not by not wearing this, not putting on perfume, not wearing nice clothes. I remember in those days, you don't even laugh. Don't you know that to go to the house of mourning is better than to go to the house of mirth? And that by sorrow the heart is made better? Which are all scriptures that are true, that are in the book of Ecclesiastes, but that does not mean we should not laugh. Even God laughs. About all not the backslide. But he that sits in the heaven shall laugh. And one of the people that has the greatest sense of humor that I know is God. I have never met a person as nice as God. I'm telling you from personal experience. God, he cracks jokes with me all day long. I'll tell you one. Now, take what I'm about to say with a pinch of salt. One day, I was praying and something happened. Someone did something. And God said, that guy is an SOB. I said, Lord. I mean, you don't use that kind of language. God said, it's scriptural. I said, you got to give me scripture for that. He said, he's a son of Belial. S-O-B. I laughed my head off. And he is. It's in the Bible. He says, they were sons of Belial. Now, you have another meaning for SOB. But God has his meaning. I laughed and God laughed. We both laughed. God has a great sense of humor. Who called James and John the sons of thunder? God. Why? They wanted to rain fire from heaven. From that day on, Jesus called them the sons of thunder. You want to kill everybody down the block, don't you? That's how God is. God's a very nice person. Very easygoing. It's because people don't know God. God is not legalistic. Far from it. In fact, one of the things God hates most is hypocrisy. He hates hypocrisy, you know, and putting burden on people that you yourself don't carry. Remember, there was a time, all that has changed now, and I thank God and I give God the glory. But there's a time they used to condemn people for watching television because it's the devil's box. But we now use the same devil box to preach the gospel. If the devil's box, then we can't use it. Nothing wrong with television. What was wrong is the content and the time you spend on it.
So it's not evil to watch television, but it can become evil when he says deny yourself and pray 3 hours and then spend 30 minutes just listening to the headlines of the news. You can't say amen, say oh me. Are you listening to me? Yes, this is how God is. So God is not asking us not to have fun, not asking us not to enjoy ourselves, but do not, he says, you know, use you not your liberty as an occasion. I'm free. I'm being free, made free in Christ Jesus. I can do what I like, but within the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, within the law of love. So I have a nice time or other, but I don't indulge the flesh. That's it. That's self-denial. Is this clear? Is it clear? Let's move on. Where are we? 11. So this is how you do it. You have to give life to the mortal body. You don't do it by some legalistic, humanistic, you know, physical set of rules. Don't do this. Touch not, wear not, taste not. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, it says, all that has no power to subdue the sin nature. And that's why you find other religions, and it is religion, it is not Christianity. You know, they try and, you know, you have all these gurus, they'll go on and sit on a nail. Hello? And put their leg inside fire. They're trying to kill the flesh. You can't kill the flesh by anything physical. You can only do it by the Spirit. Is it clear? Let's go on and I'm going to close. Verse 12. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but not to the sinful nature, to live according to it. See, it's inside our body, it's inside our mind, it's inside the will, it's inside the emotions, but you don't have to live according to it. Next verse. But for if you live according to sin, it means you can. Even though you're born again, you can. Because you're born again does not stop you from walking in the flesh, in the sin nature, and indulging it. David did. And I told you this years ago, and I'm going to repeat it. David represents the best of many of us. A man after God's own heart. You don't get it higher than David. And God told me years ago, he said, if it could happen to David, it can happen to you. So be careful. And it wasn't because David didn't love me. He was careless. When kings ought to be in battle. Today that transition, when you ought to be in prayer, and you're not in prayer, Satan can set you up. But if by the Spirit you do put to death, that's the crucifying, that's the taking up of the cross. That's what you're supposed to do daily. If any man will come, let him deny himself. You deny what the flesh wants to do, and then you use the power of the Spirit to crucify it. Then you will live. This is how you live as a Christian. Now, give me this in the Amplified. It's one of the best translations in this particular. For if you live according to the dictates, and I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit, of the sin nature in the flesh, you will surely die. What mommy was talking about. A lot of Christians are dying prematurely. And that premature death is God's mercy and grace. So they will go to heaven. Amen. Because if they continue in it, they will go to hell. So many times God will kill them prematurely. See, does God kill? Oh, yes. God kills. He doesn't murder. Big difference. Murder is a crime. Soldiers at war kill. And they're not accused of murder. Because they are doing the work of their government. God kills when he has to. He doesn't kill everybody, but he kills. You know, we Pentecostals and we, you know, happy-go-lucky faith people, we try and, you know, ignore some scriptures. Have you not read in the Bible says, I kill and I make alive? You haven't read that scripture. It happens to be in the Bible, you know. Hello? Who killed Pharaoh? Open your mouth. Who killed Nabal? But some people are looking at me funny. If you know who Nabal is, give me a wave offering. Maybe you're not reading your Bible. Nabal is Abigail's husband. He was the one that insulted David after David had been kind to him and protected his sheep and his men. So David sent to him, said, your son David, please give me some food and all of that. Who is David? Be careful, though, how you talk to men of God. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets. Who is David? Who is David? In our language, come and see something. We're seeing all kinds of things. Every servant, every is asking, you know, will I take my sheep and my food and give to this upstart? There's a little bit of translation, but that's the sense of that scripture. When David heard, David's natural flesh. David was a great warrior. He had dealt with Goliath. Who is this Nabal? He said, God do so. It's one of the nice places in the Bible. When I read, I laugh. You know, David said, God do so and more unto me also. If by this time tomorrow there remaineth one of the house of Nabal that pisseth against the wall. It means that I'm going to kill all the males. And he got his guys and they were ready to go. Then Abigail came, the wife, and begged him, just cut a long story short, and said, please don't do this. Let God, I'm paraphrasing. Abigail said, don't do this. You're going to become king. And when you become king, this thing will be on your conscience. Don't do it. Just leave it. Let God deal with him. And that's exactly what good. The Bible says, when Nabal got up in the morning, he had had a drunken party. He got up in the morning and his wife told him everything. He said his heart. Dr. Williams, what do you call it in medicine?
Cardiac arrest.
Cardiac arrest. He was like that for 10 days and then he died. Who killed Nabal? Who killed Saul? You have to know the God you're dealing with. It's a God of love, kindness, very nice. But like any responsible government, you kill enemies. Otherwise, they will disturb the people in your government. That's why God has angels. Who took the wheels off Pharaoh's chariots in the middle of the Red Sea? The angels. The Bible says there was not one of them left. The entire Egyptian expeditionary force drowned inside the Red Sea by virtue of God and his angels. I've got news for the Nigerian government. I've got news for all the governments of the world. That God has not changed. He's still around. And he's still watching and ruling over the affairs of men. Be careful. Don't cross him. It's a warning. It's not a curse. He's a good God. He's a kind God. The same God that saved the Egyptians from famine through Joseph was the same God that plagued the Egyptians to set his people free. Stay on God's good side. I got to close. Next verse. Go back to Romans. We're in Romans 8:13. We're in the Amplified Bible. Romans 8:13, the Amplified Bible. Right. If you live according to the dictates of the sin nature in the flesh, you will surely die. I was explaining that God kills. And many times he does it so that you will not go to hell. So he kills them prematurely so they'll go to heaven. But they suffer loss. And that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you are what? Everybody say habitually. Then turn to your neighbor daily. That's what he meant. If you're habitually putting to death, making what? Extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the sin nature in your body, you will surely and genuinely live forever. If you can't give the Lord a clap offering for that, I don't know what else you're going to do. This is how you do it. One last scripture and I close. Hebrews. I mentioned it earlier. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 5. And look at verse 14. I gotta close. Oh, this stuff is good. Give it to me. I got a translation here. I don't know, the complete Jewish Bible. That's a very good translation. I want to advise everyone. You pay maybe $20 or something. It's very, very, very good. It's worth getting. I use it very often when I'm doing my Bible reading. If I come to a verse, the Holy Spirit says stop. I go and look about four or five translations, so I can get the sense and the meaning of what God is saying, you know, in there. Right. Now let me look at this in the, thank you, Jesus, the complete Jewish Bible. I like this. Let me read the King James first. I don't think they have the complete Jewish Bible upstairs. Bimbo, if we need to buy it and download it onto your software, we need to get it. It's a very good translation. It says, but strong meat belongeth unto them that are full age, for those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is a little blind. It's correct, but you know, it doesn't paint the picture in its completeness that the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us. This is what, thank you. Okay, let's try the Amplified and then I'll come back to the complete Jewish. Thank you, darling. The Amplified too is good. It's good. But solid food. This kind of message I'm giving you is solid food. See, that's why we have only about 3 or 4 amens. It's this kind of message is not hype. Self-denial by the Spirit. Pastor Boy Gejeka, she said, self-denial by the Spirit. It will be me, Pastor Boyega, mommy, the pastors.
And your people.
Mommy's on your side. The leading says us, Gideon and me. Quiet, we were there. I'm still looking. Praise the Lord. You know, life up. Only about half the girls I heard. Are you listening to me? You know, you do a seminar like that, you won't find people. People don't want to hear. And these are the weightier matters of the law. But solid food is for full-grown men, for those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by, everybody shout it. Shout it again. Shout it again. Shout it again. Then turn to them and say, practice makes perfect. No practice, no perfection. Give yourself a clap offering. No practice. That's why people are not going to perfection. There's no way you're going to get into perfection if you don't practice the word. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice to discriminate and distinguish. See, for those of us, I did physics and then I did electronics, and you know, that's part of my background. There is a particular kind of circuit in the electronics. Most of them now are done in integrated circuits, but it's part of it. It's called a discriminator. What it does is this. You want to discriminate between different voltages. So if you don't want a particular voltage to pass, you will put a discriminator there. It will sense the voltage. If it is below or it is above that particular voltage, there is another circuit inside that will block it. It will not enter. Then there's another one that once it gets the right voltage, it will discriminate between the voltages, and then it will let it pass through. You know, we also call them high-pass filters, low-pass filters. We use them in amplifiers and all kinds of things. So that's the sense I have when I see that word discriminate. When you train your senses with the life of God, your will becomes to will and to do of His good pleasure. Your will becomes aligned with the will of God. Your emotions, the Bible says you love righteousness and hate iniquity. Your emotions have now been trained to hate iniquity. Am I talking to anybody here? Hallelujah. Your mind is only pleased with what God likes. For in His presence there's fullness of joy. And at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So your will is retrained. Your mind is retrained. Your emotions are retrained. You know what? They become discriminators. When sin or iniquity, when it presents itself to your will will reject it immediately. When it comes to your mind will reject it. When it comes to your emotions will reject it. How can sin enter? Get a discriminator. Turn to your neighbor, get a discriminator. A spiritual one. Load the mind, load the will, load the emotions through daily practice. That's why all those confessions, I love righteousness, I hate iniquity. What are you doing? You are practicing. You are, after a while, I can tell you from personal experience, because it's happened to me and it's still happening even on a greater and greater measure. I hate iniquity. So if I see something, I don't like it. I hate sin. I'm not trying to hate sin. I hate sin. My will has been so trained and is still being trained. I'm not done yet. Like Paul said, I've not arrived. I've not, you know, but I'm working towards it. I'm pressing towards it. You know, if I see something, so I hate, you know, what is not of the will of God, my will will not accept it. I've been training it. You need to train your... That's why you make those confessions every day. And then you pray in tongues and groanings. And then you are thinking about it as you are praying in the Spirit. You know what you're doing? You are retraining it. You train your will. You retrain your mind. You retrain your emotions. You know, once you got all the three of them aligned and they don't like sin, how will sin enter? Because there's only one gateway it has, the mind. Thank you, darling. But solid food. They got it. Hallelujah. But solid food is for the mature whose faculties have been trained, I like this, by continuous exercise to distinguish good and evil. Let us pray. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. You want to train yourself. Continuous. Can you see? That's why it has to be daily. It can't be every 2 weekly. It can't be when you have problem or you hear a hot sermon like this. Then you do it for 2 days and then we don't see you again. Good morning, Jesus. We don't see you again for another 2 weeks. Hello? Or you put your phone and you are sleeping. You know, God has your number.
Please, I want to read the scriptures, and it's particularly what you just said is God, because after Good Morning Jesus this morning, we were praying. Please sit down. I just want to read. I'm just going to read it. We were praying, and when we were praying, we were mentioning the service and lifting the service before the Lord, and all of a sudden, we began to pray about this, that God will not help us to, God will help us not to be like Judas. Who lost his destiny for 30 pieces shekel. God will not help us. God will help us not to be like Judas. And who did not know he was meant to be a part of the pillars in the temple. Then about Esau, that who lost his birthright. And then this now also came. And Jacob was let alone. And a man wrestled, and Jacob was left alone. Can you see the opposite here? And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Brethren, what do we always say in Good Morning Jesus? The day dawn. is about to break. So if you hear that every day, you know that this is prophetic. Dawn is about to break. So let us put off the armor of darkness and put on, who cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. That's the son of Issachar. And Jacob was left alone, and the man wrestled with him all night. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, because Jacob still didn't want to give up. And Jacob's thigh was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Brethren, many of us now are still wrestling with many things. Still wrestling with many things. But it's time to go alone before God. Because the dawn is about to break. Well, this is the time, like the sons of Issachar. We must understand the times and the seasons and what Israel was. And that was the reason why God was telling us this. Understand the times and the season and what Israel was is meant to do. And he said, let me go, for the day is breaking. But Jacob said, I would not let you go unless you declare a blessing upon me. But you see, the blessing couldn't come because Jacob's nature was strong in Jacob. And until he realized and let it go, there was no other way the door could be opened to him. And then the man asked him, what is your name? And Amplified said, and in shock of realization, shock, he whispered and said, Jacob, supplanter. For the first time, he admitted who he was. Now, brethren, this is the season we must admit who we are. Because we're not what we tell people we are. We're not really what we tell people we are.
But God knows who,
but God knows who we are.
Your inner nature. In your soul.
God knows who we are. And this is the time, this message. That's why I'm going to just read it. I'm not preaching. I'm just reading this message to you. Because we need to go before God.
Yes.
Done!
Alone.
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 Not even with your wife. Not with your husband. Not within your children. Because it has to be you alone. Because you know there's some secrets that even a man may not be able to tell his wife.
Yes. And the wife will not be
and wife may not tell her husband.
Yes.
Alone.
Alone. You and God.
You must be alone.
Eyeball to eyeball.
Eyeball to eyeball. Praise, are you there? Did we talk about this? Did we pray about this today? Praise, where are you? To the back. What's his name? Moses. Were you there? Are you there? Did we pray about this today? David, Moi, they're all there. Did we pray about this today?
Exactly. Yes, Mommy, we did.
Exactly.
We did, yes.
So, brethren, I just want to tell you that this is very prophetic. That's why I called him. And he whispered, and then he said, your name, that's the punchline. The punchline hope for us is this, the scripture. The moment he realized who he was, and he was in total surrender. I'm a supplanter. I'm a trickster. This is who I am. Lord, I understand the times and seasons. Pastor may not know who I am. My wife may not know who I am. I may be visiting the pornographic pictures. I may be there watching all these evil thoughts and evil things. I may not be satisfied with my own system. Even the person next to me may not know. But God, this is who I am. Please forgive me. This is who I am. That's what God is saying to us. See that man, Moses, who the Bible says was the meekest man on the surface of the earth. And he could not enter because he was provoked by anger. If Moses could, then we also can. So that's why I'm reading this. I'm reading it again. And he said, your name. He said, your name shall not be that person again. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
But your name shall no more be a supplanter, but Israel, contender with God. For you have contended, have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. So God will change our name to one who has content, prevailed with God and men, prince with God, reigning with God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what I believe God wants to say to us. It's a time not to give up, but it's a time to do a self-assessment. Genuine self-assessment. Do you know that some other people, they don't really wish other people's children well?
In their heart.
In their heart. And it might not matter whether that person has been good to them or not.
The Bible says, he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. You know, you can be saying sorry and that, but inside your heart,
I've seen it happen before, I know it. Because you know I'm a prophetess. And sometimes I see the hearts of people, but you're not allowed to react. And I say, upon all. And God is shut up, who are you? I say, I'm sorry. No reaction. I say, yes, sir. So it happens.
We need to deal with it.
So we need to ask God, please help us. Help us. This is hope. If the Lord had mercy on Jacob, God can have mercy on us. But you see, he suffered a lot too. He too. Leah. He wanted Rachel. They gave him Leah. For 7 years. He had to go and labor for another 7 years to get Rachel. But thank God. Thank God. The end of the matter. It's better than the beginning. You see, the most important thing, you see, when you have the heart of God, you don't care how somebody started. The hope is, at the end, we will all make it. That's the most important thing.
Very well said. Let's stand to our feet. See, folks, there's a season of restoration. It was a season of restoration. So you can restore all you have lost previously by a lack of self-denial. Start now. Everybody say, I'm going to start now. I'm going to go to God. Alone with God. And I'm going to be honest about who I am. Or should I say who I was. And then I'm going to change. I'm going to deny myself by the Spirit, by continuous exercise and practice. I will train my will, my mind, my emotions to hate iniquity, to will to do God's pleasure, to love righteousness, so that my soul will become a discriminator. When sin comes, my soul will discriminate against it and throw it out. You know, we often say it's not good to be discriminated. You know, you shouldn't discriminate. You know, it's not good to discriminate. You know, the black man and the white man, don't discriminate. Racism, this is a good discrimination.
Amen.
Discriminate against evil.
Amen.
Let's talk to God. Discriminate against evil. Hallelujah. Well done, guys. Draw me close to you.
Draw me close to you, Lord.
Never let me go.
Never let me go.
I lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm your friend.
You are mine.
You were my desire.
No one else could do.
No one else will do. Nothing else can take your place. Of your embrace.
Help me find a way.
Help me find a way.
Bring me back to you.
Bring me back to you. Let's start again. Draw me close to you. Start again from the beginning. Sing it from your heart. It's an application to the Holy Spirit.
Draw me close to you.
Never let me go.
Never let me
To hear you say that I'm your friend.
You are my desire.
No one else will do.
Nothing else can take your place.
Nothing else can take your place. Sing it, sing it, sing it. Feel the warmth of your embrace.
Help me find a way.
Sing it, sing it. One hand on your heart, raise your hand to God. Draw me close to you. Quietly. Quietly. Meaningfully. Help me, Lord. Raise that hand. Say, Father. We confess our sins, especially sins of a lack of self-denial. Receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. We receive power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Father, I thank you for this word. Thank you for this timely, prophetic word of self-denial by the Spirit. I understand now that a lack of self-denial can cause me to lose part of my destiny. Oh God, have mercy on me. Give me fresh mercy and grace to daily deny myself, take up my cross, and imitate Jesus by praying with strong crying and tears, with prayers and supplication, to put the life of God from my spirit into my mind, my will, my emotions, my physical body, and train my will, my mind, my emotions, my body to hate and reject sin and love only righteousness, so that I can inherit the fullness of my prophetic destiny. All, not some, all that is written of me in the volume of the book. In Jesus' name, amen. Nika shelekatofrinesk, liprikitofriningask, zekatoloma, mercy Lord, zelikikofrinikatofrines, nela ha 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 ho ho, nikatoloma shalika frenenzekihio, yekikofrinesk. Lord, have mercy on us. Labrika glamatoloma shela, lambraka glamatoloma tofrinis, zikitofrines, lambra delas. Zelikofredesk, Lambridilikatoske, Zofridia, Lombri de Glomatolomasi Lord, Gilekatolomotufrido Freshengaras, Dolomaga Glomatolomotufrido Freshekaras, Togoglomatolomotolomotufreshe, Lombra Glomatol, Tolomotufrido Freshe, Tolomangara Kaklom, Tolomotolomotufreshe, Zofre, Lombra Glomatolomotufridusko, Tolomotufre, Lambridikatolos. Lambraka glomatoloma shala, lambridikas, lambraka glomatolomatufre, tolomatufre, tolomatufre shikordufre, no fridilem tolomangara, tolomatufre dufre shengara, tolomatufre, tolomasta, nikatufre, lambraka matos, nea, tuske frenengask, in Jesus' name. Join hands with somebody. We're going to close. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the loudest countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With a long life of God satisfy you, and show you his salvation in the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparted you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore, in Jesus' name. Turn over and say, you practice self-denial daily by the Spirit. God bless you. Remember.